It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 8th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Samsung lowered its third quarterly earnings estimate significantly this week. The South Korean company estimated profit is half that of the same period a year ago. Why? It has to do with smartphones, saturation, and competition. Let's talk more with our friend from the New York Times, Molly Wood. Molly, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. I think we're both better than Samsung's, you know, outlook at this moment.
Everything is coming up roses for us, especially in comparison to poor Samsung, which has just had a rough year. They're set to report that earnings are essentially collapsing, that their smartphone dominance is trickling away.
We've also been talking about this for a long time in terms of just how saturated the market is. But this also has to do with emerging markets in China and other competitors there.
It does. So while they were so focused on chasing Apple in the high end, you could argue that they also missed these Chinese competitors coming up from behind and really just eroding market share so fast, especially in the Chinese market.
What happens if this gets really ugly?
You know, I can't help but draw a parallel with a company like Dell. You know, smartphones and televisions, those are saturated markets. There's not a lot of growth there. There's not a lot of margin. And I wonder if what Samsung will end up doing is pulling away from the consumer market and sort of just refocus on something that's not so consumer-oriented, because that's a hard way to make money.
Molly Wood, our good friend and technology columnist at the New York Times. Molly, always great to have you.
My pleasure.
Today, near Washington, D.C., the Food and Drug Administration begins a two-day workshop. And before you doze off, know this. The workshop is tackling how to regulate 3D printing in ways that could save lives. I'm talking about 3D printed medical devices. Scott DeFelice is president and CEO of Oxford Performance Materials, which makes an FDA-approved 3D printed cranial implant. Scott, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
How does one get their 3D printed cranial implant FDA approved?
The simple answer is it's the same way you get any other implant approved.
Does that mean that 3D printing isn't really that big of an innovation as an idea? I mean, does that mean that we're not going to see all these exciting changes that people are talking about?
Not at all. In fact, I guess what I'm really telling you is that the regulatory environment isn't an unclear and diffuse problem, so that the real innovations of the technology, which involve things like prosthesis, so, you know, if you have a hole in your head, we could fit it anatomically appropriately because of 3D printing. The technology is very disruptive, and the regulatory environment isn't going to be the thing that stops it.
Scott DeFelice is the president and CEO of Oxford Performance Materials. Scott, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
A few weeks ago, I spent some time in San Francisco. I talked to billionaires, CEOs, and venture capitalists, but I also visited with some up-and-comers. One of the really cool places I visited was Good Eggs. It's a company that tries to pair people with fresh produce and other grocery items by using algorithms and other tech solutions to connect small farmers and other businesses with people that want those goods delivered. The company's warehouse in the Dog Patch area of San Francisco is an odd spot. On one side, developers and marketers walk around with laptops. On the other, people stuff all kinds of food, some from giant walk-in refrigerators, into reusable boxes for delivery. I sat down with CEO Rob Spiro to talk about how Good Eggs wants to disrupt the way we shop for groceries.
Rob Spiro, co-founder and CEO of Good Eggs, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you very much.
What are the challenges there in terms of what happens if the farmer gets up and there's no eggs? You know, how do you solve this problem?
Food is inherently unpredictable because it is a negotiation with nature. And sometimes nature doesn't do what you want it to do, and sometimes it does more of what you want it to do. And it's also the case that people's trucks break down on the way to the city, or bread gets burned, or whatever it is. We've figured it out, and a lot of it is software-driven. And so if the bread is burned, then in the last minute, we're going to be able to get another loaf from someone else, or we're going to be able to tell the baker to make 3 loaves extra because we think they're probably going to burn 3 of those loaves.
Does that create a high-stress environment? Does it require algorithmic solutions that need a lot of tinkering?
Yeah, it requires that we build a world-class software engineering team. And they're not only building a website that you can use to shop for food, They're building these really sophisticated logistics systems. It's a big, big project.
This company exists here. It exists in New York.
Yeah, we're actually in four areas. We're in the whole Bay Area. We're in just the borough of Brooklyn right now. We serve the whole city of New Orleans, and we serve the whole city of LA.
What's the next step for you?
Yeah, we'll open up in more cities. And one of the reasons that we wanted to have New Orleans in our initial set was to really test Good Eggs in a mixed income city.
How is it different there than here?
If you look at the market in any given city, the inventory is 100% different. And actually, our system is so much more decentralized than any other food system. It's inherently distributed. And we've got these small food hubs that are going to be hopefully all over the country and all over the world, each one with its totally unique supply chain. But because we can centralize this investment in great technology, we can actually let these folks compete with the big guys.
What eventually happens? Do you agree to be bought by Whole Foods?
What I hope happens is that we have 1,000 food hubs around the world that are serving, you know, tens of thousands of food producers and millions of customers, and we are this real alternative food system, and we can maintain our independence.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Thanks so much.
That's it for us. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.